Brad is on the line. Hi, Brad. How are you?
Hi, Ryan. I am, and you'd better be as well.
I can be nothing else. So,
that's true.
I have a question for you. What's the point of calling me Lord if you don't do what I say?
Oh, no. Is that the position you're taking now as my publisher and webmaster?
Yes, and I want to know where that book is.
Yes, sir.
I'm just kidding, obviously. Love your article. Wow. Last podcast we talked about this being a no-bull zone, and this is very, very direct. Well done. Bravo.
Holy mackerel. You mean to tell me I have grown in stature in your eyes?
Well, actually, I just want to say well done. I really appreciate your directness. You're being very forward here, and I'd like to discuss some of the things that you bring up. Actually, one of the things that pops out to me is some of the things that Jesus says in this long sermon that he's given in Luke. And we talk a lot of times, we talk about the eating the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. And yet here I hear out of the words of Christ, no good tree bears bad fruit, and nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. And then he talks about the evil that man brings up out of his heart, and good things stored in the heart. And that seems to me like one of the things that we talk about. Maybe we should get Jesus to listen to this podcast and see if he agrees with us. It seems that in the sermon, he's really dividing good and evil here. And he says that there's a recognition of such is something that's important, that he wants you to do.
Well, may I tell you what I rest on continually?
Sure, rest away.
And to me, it just removes all the hesitancy and, to me, the confusion that Christianity happens to breed. And here's what is ignored, as far as I'm concerned. Jesus made the statement that his words were not his words, but that the Spirit, our spirit parent, was speaking through him. Therefore, the source of everything, the one who knows good from evil, was speaking those words. And may I take a little more on that?
Yeah, I think you need to, for me.
Okay, and when I am in the Spirit, writing or speaking, it is not I who is speaking. It is my daddy in me who is speaking. I don't claim to always be in the Spirit. However, when I am, that's when I can speak with authority, because I'm not speaking. He is speaking.
Oh, okay, so if I just look at Jesus' metaphor here, even if it's the source of everything, and the source says, this is a bad tree, my question just automatically goes to, well, what makes this tree bad? I don't get it. It's a tree. How can it be bad?
I have an answer for you. Are you ready?
I am.
Ask the source.
Well, this is one that I'm definitely going to follow up on, because I can't say as I've noticed this before, although I do, I recognize the passage, and I'm sure I've read it many, many times. My question is, well, how can you judge a fruit good or bad? Because it doesn't taste good? Because it's poison? Because it's not poison? You know, like, where does this judgment come in? When you're just telling me earlier not to judge.
You know, it's interesting. I just had an email exchange with a young man. I think he's in the Air Force in Germany, and he's having trouble with lust. This is what he said, and said that his mom and dad had recommended that he write me and gave me his email address. Did I send you a copy of that?
Nope.
Okay, well, I couldn't believe what my advice was. And his dad wrote me this morning saying how much it has helped. And the advice had to do with how to overcome his lust. And what came to me when I asked, I couldn't believe it. I didn't want to say it. I don't know if you want me to get into it here.
Well, it's germane to the story. Let's go.
Well, here's why it's germane. The problem we have so much of what we think is good and so much of what we think of is evil comes from religious tradition. It doesn't mean anything. And particularly when some young man, I'm assuming he's in his 20s at the most, but some young man here is all concerned because of his biological urges. And what Dad gave me to tell him was kind of wild. And what I said was, you need to cry out to your dad, not to help you overcome your lust, but how to manage it properly. And I said, what I got when I asked was, it's like, pardon the crudity, taking a dump. It's a biological urge when you have to go to the bathroom, whether it's to urinate or do the other thing. As we used to say, whether you go one or two.
Yeah, sure.
And it blew me
away. Yeah.
And I said, from a guy who has gotten into enough trouble in his past by chasing skirts, I can tell you that one way of managing it is to take care of it in another way. You know, and that's what I told him. I was very straight with him about it. And as I said, his dad came back. I got an email about 4 o'clock this morning when I woke up, and there was from his dad telling me how happy he was. I had never, ever heard from this guy before. Don't know who he is. But anyway, Dad helped his son. And that's the point. Stop eating from the damn fruit of good and evil that we have been dumped on us. I'm not going to say anything about sex. I don't know what's good, what's bad, what's anything.
Oh, Brad, you tell me that just you go out and commit adultery?
I didn't say that. You know, you tell me you can go out and kill somebody? I didn't say that. And I don't think you're going to get that kind of leading from Daddy.
Right.
But I don't know. That's not mine to discuss or worry about. He wrote to me telling me that his parents told him to write because maybe I could give him some advice. I told him I couldn't give him anything, but I'd go ask. I wrote back, and that's what I asked. And he didn't write back. His parents would. Isn't that wild?
That's awesome. So that's the difference between morality and truth, I guess. Go ask Dad, and Dad will tell you what's good, what's bad, what's evil, what's not. And stop relying on the fruit of the tree to tell you, I guess, is what you're telling me, right?
Yeah, and that fruit can be somebody behind a pulpit, you know?
Sure.
That fruit can be your own interpretation of the Bible.
Right.
Or she had somebody else's interpretation.
Well, I agree with what you're saying a little further down here, where you're humbly and respectfully submitting that Christian moralism ignores it, and that Christian morals is really what Christianity is about. It's about a moral code as opposed to following what Christ did and said we should do and say.
I certainly think so.
Well, you know, you really take it on here, buddy. Much of what is called Christianity is a lie hatched by demonic forces. Wow.
You disagree with that?
You know, at first when I read it, I kind of wanted to take you on about that and say, wait a second, I've seen some wonderful blessings. You know, my usual rant about I've seen fabulous things happen in a church. But every time I think of that, I get reminded of Paul, who you also beat up in this article. And maybe it wasn't Paul. Somebody else said, am I telling you to sin? No, but wherever sin is great, there also grace abides.
Yeah, grace abounds all the more. Yeah, that was Paul.
Oh, that guy? Well, but let's get into how you beat the heck out of him. Oh my gosh. The Apostle Paul includes, you're quoting Paul in his establishment of the church hierarchy. It's funny because in the last posting we put up there on why you came out of the church, one of the things that was really important and one of the scriptures that really created some change for you was pointing out that Paul forbade women to speak in church. So the same guy that said, no, well, women aren't allowed to speak, was the same guy who says that there's a religious hierarchy. Some will be apostles, some will be evangelists, some will be elders. And And so I have to ask, what do you think that's divinely inspired words from Paul?
Ooh, I'd suggest you read the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians and listen to what he says.
Yeah.
At the end of it, he said, kind of to the effect, he said, are you questioning what I'm saying here? You know, and like, who are you to question it? You know, that I'm giving it as a directive or a command from God.
He says that at the end of chapter 14 of Corinthians?
Yeah. I ought to go get my Bible and read it to you. It's somewhere else.
Wow. He's claiming direct input from God.
Yep.
And so God, accordingly, is telling women to shut up.
No, Paul said that, not I. And maybe he didn't. I don't know. Maybe it's whoever transcribed the or whoever interpreted, or who knows, you know.
Well, who knows?
I'm not afraid to beat up on that stuff, because how dare you, if you're in a church and you tell me, you know, that the Bible is your authority and you have all this junk and have women talking in your church. Now, hey, I did too when I was there, but I'll tell you, he said don't. So who are you going to believe, Paul, or are you going to believe Jesus? Jesus didn't deal with it.
He didn't. Well, he did deal with part of what Paul said. He said there's only one shepherd.
Yeah, there you go.
And he said that many will come in my name, and we're not to believe them, because they're like the thief.
Yeah, you know what? Now, I'm glad you brought that up. Something I haven't thought of for years. But everybody, not everybody, it seems to me that a majority of people take that to mean that you just quoted, many will come in my name, thinking that many will come who are crazy as loons or whatever and say they are Jesus Christ. And he's not saying that. Many will come saying that they're coming in my name, that saying that they're representing me. And that's, again, what Christianity does. And, you know, what do you say?
Well, let me show you how easy it is for someone to come in the name of Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Oh, Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless this food. Picture this. I'm sitting at a table. There's a bunch of people, and I'm in a restaurant. Oh, Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless this food, and we thank you for providing it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, how many times have you heard that?
I can't tell you how many. It's been a bunch.
A bunch, right? And so,
Let's go further. I can't tell you how many times I used to be guilty.
Okay, and I'll wear that too. But Jesus specifically said, don't pray in public. Go to your closet. And yet, I don't know, over and over and over and over again. So here's somebody coming in his name. Because they use his name at the end of the prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yep, gotcha.
It doesn't get more hypocritical than that, does it?
Nope.
Yeah, and so what do you typically say when you're at a restaurant and somebody at the table says, oh, well, I'd like to bless the food before we begin. What do you say?
Do it within yourself. And, you know, Eve is really strong in this. And, I mean, whoa, you feel the urge to pray, you know, go outside and pray.
Yeah, I agree totally. It's the ultimate in hypocrisy. It's really, look at me, I'm a Christian.
Exactly.
That's really what it stands up. But, wow, you get even deeper than that in this. I love your quote about Native Hawaiians. You will find it impossible to discover new lands until you lose sight of the shore. Whoa! You know that the same people that populated Hawaii also populated an island off the coast of British Columbia?
Is that right?
You bet. They're called the Haida Indians, and they look Hawaiian, and their homelands is an island chain called the Queen Charlotte Islands.
The Queen Charlotte is peopled by those South Sea Islanders, huh?
Polynesians. So not only did they make it from Polynesia to Hawaii, they made it all the way to the west coast of Canada.
Isn't that so? That's exciting. That's
interesting. So it seems that they're pretty good at losing sight of the shore.
Yeah, it sure does.
Yeah, it's almost amazing.
What just triggered in me was, I don't really know what I was thinking as this was coming to me, but what's coming to me right now is, wait a minute, you will never get more deeply related to the source of everything, to your spirit parent, until you let go of all your traditions, which are the ropes that are holding your boat to the shore, and you will never discover the joy and the beauty of the new lands that are available until you cut loose. How's that?
I agree. Cut loose. Like you said in your last article, come out of her. Cut loose. You know, you really give strong motivation in this article, because you say that the genesis of Christianity is not Jesus, but it's the father of lies. And I'm paraphrasing, but that's in essence what you're saying.
Whee!
And although you're giving credit to that, to Jewish theologians, in the next paragraph you say, if the father of lies was the perpetrator of the system, and is the perpetrator, is it not safe to say it is a great lie and deception? So now I'm going to...
Wait a minute. I was worried about those two words when I remember when I read it back and looked at it myself. And it's perpetrator and perpetuator of.
Oh, thank you. Perpetuator. Okay. So either way, what I'm going to challenge you on is this word right here. If. And Jewish theologians. Well, you prayed on this? What does Dad say?
Dad told me that it was right on the way it was.
Right on. So then it is truth, and we don't need to give credit to Jewish theologians. And it's not an if, is it? I mean, get clear.
Well, wait a minute. I mean, Ryan, if you're serious about this, I don't mean if, you know what I'm saying. That's a figure of speech. Quit nitpicking. You sound like a dang editor.
Well, I just want to be 100% clear. Is it if? Is it the Jewish theologians? Or is it what Brad is saying?
It's what Dad has interpreted as Dad telling me.
Okay. I just wanted to be clear. This is a no bull zone.
I love that, by the way.
Yeah, me too. I just, when I read that, the statement was quite striking. And yet, there was some language in there that kind of softened it a bit.
Hey, excuse me for a minute, and this will help lull the many of our listeners, but it's 5:13 p.m. in Margate, Florida, where I am sitting at my desk on the phone with you, and it's 83 degrees in here, and I'm too cheap to turn on the air conditioner. I do have the window open, and there's a slight breeze, but I want to turn the fan on above me, so hang on just a second. Don't go away.
And so you've turned your fan on. So my question is, do you have anything to add to this?
Good grief. I think I got myself in enough trouble with what I've written, haven't I?
Well, if trouble's what you're looking for, friend, I think you're probably going to find it with this one. I thought that last time we got in enough trouble, but you've upped the ante, so to speak, and you made it very clear. I hope that there's enough controversy in this article and podcast to get somebody or anybody who doubts what you're saying to get on their knees and go ask Dad. Go ask. Go get confirmation. Is this truth for you, or is this a lie? And should you never listen to Brad Cullen and Ryan Bruce ever again?
And that's the way sometimes it should be. You don't have to, you know, I don't know how many times we have to say this, but we all have filters. And Dad speaks to each one of us. I guarantee you, I've got 5 grown kids. A couple of them are close to 60. And each one of them will tell the other one something I said, which I didn't say at all. You know.
Well, but when you put it in writing, it's pretty easy to interpret.
Yeah, if you read it. Of course, it's still, again, it's just what came through me. What I listened to is what I heard. I know I'm loved by Daddy, but I know he loves everybody. And he may not think that what, or know, he may know that some of the things I say, you're not ready for.
Right.
And that doesn't mean you need to grow up. It just means he's got you on a different path. And that's okay. You know, what Dad has told me is, you know, some have ears to hear what I have to say, and here's what I want you to say to those who have ears to hear it.
Right. I would have to say that I have ears to hear it. I can't say that I've actually gone and asked, but I can tell you that this article is now going to have... I've got two questions I have to ask about. One is the father of lies the perpetuator and... What was the other word you used? Perpetrator?
Perpetrator and perpetuator.
Yeah, is he those? And also, what is this bad tree, good tree stuff that Jesus is talking about? I've never seen a bad tree yet.
Yeah, I want you to what he took that metaphor. That's a metaphor. That's good.
Yeah, I'm gonna get some advice on that. So thanks, Brad. I appreciate you taking the time today, and I appreciate your frank honesty.
Well, it's better than what you used to say. It was just, I think it's about 9-10 months ago. You told me that you'd argue with everything I said, even when you didn't know what I said, because I didn't say that much because I was so wishy-washy. Am I right, Mr. Bruce?
Yes, Brad.
Hey, are we done?
We're done. Love you. Bye.
Hey, love you. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.